don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I hope everything's working all right. Can you, Mr. Engineer, am I coming on okay? Because I don't know what's going on this morning. Everything seems to be a little different. Hello, testing. Am I coming on okay?
You're
good.
Coming on okay, sir. Yes, I have been letting you know. Maybe you're not able to read my messages, but you're loud and clear.
Yeah, today, for some reason, my headphone's not working, but it's coming through the TV, so I don't know what's going on. As long as everything's fine, I'm good. So today we have Francis, I see if I can pronounce this right, Pavich. She's the owner of Amigo Bob's Organics. Seems like she's been around as long as I have. She started her company, the Pavich Family Farms, in mid-70s. So I may have beat her by a few years. I started in 1970 myself. She's an early pioneer in the organic farming business. She has her own company called Franz Organic. It's an organic raisin company, started in 2002, and now she's the owner and founder of Amigo Bob's Organic. It's an organic soil, nutrient, and fertilizer company. She's been her passion has always been centered around food, farming, and healthy lifestyles. Sounds like me. Her education is in clinical psychology, which gave her the tools to work with different people on different levels, helping them understand the message of what holistic health and living means. Maybe I should have taken up clinical psychology. Her informal education began on the farm, and she's always been a gardener. She loves growing her own food, teaching others how to grow their own food, and prepare it in a tasty way. So she's been a speaker on organic farming, healthy lifestyles, and many events. National Native American Business Conference, health food forums, and various governmental forums in agriculture and alternative energy, to name a few. Good morning, Frances.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
How fine. How are you?
Okay.
You sound like a me, you know, because I was reading to the people what you've been doing, the Pavich Family Farms in the mid-70s, pioneering organic farming. You have an organic raisin company?
Yes, we started about 15, 20 years ago. That was actually sort of an offshoot of Pavich Family Farms. And then now we started Amigo Bob's, which is an organic soil and fertilizer nutrient company.
You know, it's interesting because I seem to remember, when did Amigo Bob start selling their stuff? Do you remember what you started?
Well, we started about, commercially selling it. Last year was the first year that we actually sold it to the public. But we've been developing this product for, 5 or 6 years, and we did a lot of beta testing. We had a lot of trials with professional growers as well as home growers.
Was Amigo Bob's around before that, right?
Well, Amigo Bob himself has been around before that, but not the actual product.
No. Okay, right, because, you know, I seem to recall Amigo Bob's been around a long time, you know, his name. I seem to remember his name from somewhere in the past. You know, as I get older, I forget things, but I could have sworn his name has been around for like a long, long time. Am I off?
No, you're not wrong. His name has been around for many, many years. He was one of the pioneers of the whole organic farming movement. He started the Eco Farm Show. He also was part of CCOF in its inception, And Amigo has been a consultant and an educator in farming, organic farming, for many years.
I know. Is that the Eco Farm in Northern California that you have a regular...
Yes, in Monterey.
Right. That's where I got it from, because I used to go there a lot and be a speaker. And it seems like I would go... My head's going, I know this name, you know? and that's true, because he's been around a long, long time. How's he doing?
He's doing okay. He's sort of taking it easy these days, and so we're doing most of the work on this project, and so he's very Nigo has never lent his name to anything before, but he knew myself and my family and the people that restarted it, and he was part of it, and he felt very comfortable with it because he knew it was going to be a good product and Excellent. We were going to do the right thing.
Excellent. Originally, I had thought I was going to have him on today, but it's a pleasant just surprise to have you on. You know, I always love to talk to Amigo Bob. I'm sure he would remember me. I'm the crazy guy in the crowd, you know.
Oh, I'm sure he probably does, yes.
Did you get started in organic growing and stuff, and how did you start your company?
In the growing or in the Amigo product?
Your family farm, why did you started doing organic stuff?
Well, that was a long story too. My brother was in college, and he came home one day. He was a viticulture major at Fresno State, and he came home one day, and my father had asked him to clean out an insecticide tank, and he got sick, and so he told my dad. He said, you know, I've been listening to this professor I have at school, and he said, I think there's a better way. And so my father, to his credit, said, okay, if you can find a better way, then okay, let's do it. And so that's how the organic business started. In those days, that was in the early 70s, and actually late 60s, early 70s. And there was nothing then. I mean, there was no certifications. There was no nothing. And in fact, there wasn't even a designation for it. I mean, people said natural. They said all kinds of things, wild grown, everything, but it really didn't mean it.
Right.
So anyway,
right.
That's how we got started.
Do you remember you don't remember the name of the professor by any chance, do you?
Yes, his name was Watt McGugan. He's deceased now, but he was at Fresno State, and he was a real maverick, and he had a very strong feeling that this could be something that that you could do. And he was right, but it wasn't easy.
Well, yeah, it's a whole different mindset, you know, a whole different thing from attacking it on one end. You actually go the other way and deal with the law of cause and effect, and you know, base it on healthy soil. And but listen, I have the questions that that I'm going to follow, because that's what I do with the show. I try to get things done that you want to get done, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason too.
That's fine.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Who are principals and what are their credentials? What principals or what are of your business?
Oh, I was talking about Amigo Bob, about how. When we started this, it was Amigo and myself and some family members and other that were involved in the organic farming business. And that's why we were all sitting around together. And we said, you know, we did this specifically actually for the cannabis business, because the cannabis business was becoming legalized. And we knew that it was not a very clean business in the inception, because most people did not grow organically.
No, interesting enough, you know, the way I found your website, it was by accident. It came by accident, because it was one of the things that people come to me is how do I grow marijuana organically? So I thought, well, let me just look up on the internet, see what, and your site comes up, Amigo Bob's shop, organic marijuana fertilizer. I go, okay, you know, that's how one way it pops up. Because I normally, you know, I met one of your salesperson here in Malibu, who has the seaweed grow set up, you know, the, in one
yeah.
of the
yeah.
At the PC Greens, he set it up there for folks, you know. And I started talking to him about it. I said, you know, this stuff would be very good for pot growing, you know. And he says, you could use it for that exactly. And you know, people are funny because you know. And especially in the medical, you know, you would think that, gee, you wouldn't want to use chemicals in your medicine, right?
Right.
You know, but they're spraying whatever, and then they're getting sick off the spraying, you know. So that's not good, you know. And people don't,
no,
you know. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yes, that is the whole point of it, is that because it was primarily medical use that was legalized first, that people were using anything, and when people were using it for medical use, then, you know, most of the time if you are using it for that, you have probably a compromised immune system anyway because you're not well. And to then pile on pesticides and, you know, and fungicides and pathogens on top of all of that is not good. And, you know, that's how we actually started it. My daughter was still is an oncologist in Seattle. And so she had many patients that were coming to her and asking her to prescribe cannabis. And she didn't feel very comfortable about it because she said, you know, I don't have a really clean source of it. And so she said, you know, you've been in organic farming for so long. She said, can't you guys come up with something that is a fertilizer? And so we said, okay, that's how it all started, really.
You know what's going on? It's really interesting, since we're talking about this, is that there was a study recently done that about, you know, medical marijuana, and they even studied the so-called organic folks, and they found they too had pesticides and chemicals in it.
Yes.
So, yes. Right. So California is coming up with a whole new, it's supposed to be being rolled out recently, a whole new criteria. And part of it is anybody who grows anything, whether it's for medical or recreational, has to be tested. It has to be tested for the for chemicals, you know, for whether it be pesticides, herbicides,
right,
fungicides. So that's about time that they do that.
Yes,
you know?
And other states are doing it. I know in Colorado we recently sold some product to a grower in Colorado, and in addition to pesticides and fungicides, they're also testing for pathogens and like E. coli and Salmonella and various pathogens. And if they don't pass, then they're, you know, their crop is destroyed. So, you know, I think it's a good thing because, again, when someone is doing this for medical reasons, and especially, you know, there's children using this now for, you know, seizures and all kinds of things, it really needs to be clean. And, you know, for that matter, again, it can cross over certainly for someone using it recreationally. It needs to be clean also.
Exactly right, and it's amazing how many chemicals people are using. I have people come to me all the time, and for, you know, because they say you can grow anything, so I bet you can grow a pot. I say, well, yeah, it's not that hard to grow, but they're using the MG. You know, when I say MG, I don't know if I want to promote them or not. I'm not afraid. Miracle-Gro, okay? They use Miracle-Gro for grow their pot, right? And then they have to spray some other pesticide because it doesn't work that way, and then they get sick, and then they go to the doctor.
Right.
I'm getting this medical stuff, and then the doctor tests it, and it says, "Well, sure, you got this in it, you got this, you got Roundup in it." And it's like we're crying out loud, right?
I know. Yeah, I mean, I believe that most of the people that get sick, if they do use cannabis recreationally or even medically, they're not getting sick from the actual cannabis; they're getting sick from what is on it, and.
Exactly. Right.
And now that, you know, when you brought up Miracle-Gro, the thing about Miracle-Gro is primarily it's an ammonium nitrate fertilizer, which means that it's not only bad for you personally and for the plant, it is also very bad for the environment.
Yeah, for the soil. They don't like me telling this stuff, but I've been against them for years. I call it cocaine for plants. Yeah, that's what it does.
Well, you're right. It's exactly what it does, and it creates a plant that is very weak. It grows fast, and it has, you know, it can look good for a while, but it also has very weak cell structure. And so then it makes it very susceptible to insects and infestations of all kinds.
Right,
and
that's the way it works.
So with our products, we use only naturally based nitrogens, which are not detrimental to the soil or to the plant, and it creates a very strong plant. And so when you're growing a strong plant, then it's less susceptible to all the ailments that, you know, come along, like the pesticides and the mold and the fungus and everything else.
One of the things I like about your grow kits is that you also sell the microbes during.
Yes.
You have two types of microbes. I think it's one before. Explain the two different types for the public, please.
Okay. We have an early season microbe, and that's really for the vegetative state when a plant is first planted. And you need to have a strong, healthy root system, and you need to have a good soil that promotes good bacteria in the soil. And that's what those microbes are for. And it also helps to suppress any kind of molds or funguses that are in the plant. And so those microbes are specifically for those. We have several in combination of the early season. Then, after the plant starts to flower, then you use a different microbe, and that's the late-season microbe, and that's to promote cell growth and mean to promote the flower, and then, again, strengthen the soil to keep it from creating any kind of fungus or any pathogens in the soil.
Is your seaweed different, too? Because I noticed in the home grow kit, you got two bottles there. Are they two different types of seaweed, one for bloom and one for grow also?
No, we have, in the seaweed, we have a product called Superfood. And the Superfood is a combination of five different products, and it has whole fish, but it also has whole seaweed. It has whole North Atlantic seaweed. And it also has single cell algae, it has a mineral complex, and we have there's all kinds of things in that. And every product and ingredient that we have in that superfood product is of the highest quality, and it is the whole product. As opposed to, you know, you can go to the store and buy a seaweed product. But I call it sort of essence of seaweed, a lot of it, and or they use just a certain part of the seaweed or a diluted form of the seaweed. But we have the entire plant that's ground up, and the whole thing is used.
Let me ask you a question. It's not on the list here, and I don't want you to get mad at me, but I didn't see it anywhere. Is this OMR approved, or does it not fall into that category?
You mean OMRI?
Yes.
You have OMRI listed? No, we chose, it is OMRI, it's not OMRI listed, but it is NOP, which is the national, or it complies with the National Organic Program, which is the national standard, which they use for food and fertilizer. It also is certified by EnviroGanics, which is a new certification for, specifically for cannabis products. And it is a designation that is, it is equivalent to, it is not part of CCOF because CCOF cannot certify, but it is, you have to go through the same kind of standards. And then plus, it also complies with OIM, which is the California standard for organic input materials. And all of those certifications are extremely stringent. And, you know, it has to be very clean in order to get those designations.
Well, can you tell me why is not, because I have an ongoing thing with different people tell me about it, you know, and I have my own, when I do my services, for example, you know, there's some things that I can't they're not OMR certified. That's because of the rules that they have for mm-hmm. certification. For example, I like to use a product that comes from that's made out of vitamins for humans. But anything, and of course, they can't cert. They don't. It's not included in the certification process. I also know that certain types of microbes are not included in it. Is that the, mm-hmm. the is that the scenario that you guys are going through, or what?
Well, it is. I mean, we could certify. Well, the reason we chose, we didn't do OMRI certified. I mean, I could, and we didn't because it was the process wasn't. It just was complicated, and we felt that our certifications that we have are better, and so that's why we didn't feel the need to do that at this point.
Right. That's pretty much the same thing I feel, too, because people say, well, this is not OMR certified. So, well, I said, well, look at all the other certification it has, and that should speak for itself. Right?
Yes, and a lot of people are doing that now. And again, because we did choose to go with the EnviroGanics because we felt that was actually a stronger certification. Not that, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about OMRI. It just said that yeah. was just for us. And our product, we felt that it was a better certification. Plus, we already had the California organic input registration, and plus it complies. Every single product we have complies with NOP, which is probably the strongest because that is the National Organic Program.
I have a lot of people. It keeps coming to me all the time. Oh, it's not OMR certified. It's not OMR. And I'm going, well, you need to really look at what's going on with it before you jump on the bandwagon and say that it isn't any good, because there are lots of really good products out there and lots of ways that they can get it certified. The trick is to understand the people, right, where you guys are coming from.
Right.
What's in the ingredients, you know? Let me ask you another question about I know what the target customer would be, because, you know, the target customer – well, the two targets for me, you know, the average grower, the person that has a garden of vegetables, your products are just excellent for tomatoes, excellent for roses, excellent for these products as well. It doesn't have to be marijuana, you know. It's perfect for that. So you have like two targets. One, the person who has a garden and grow vegetables and stuff like that, because it's really good. This is an excellent product for them to use, because a lot of people don't seem to understand that you can't use a Miracle-Gro or all these other chemicals. Especially, like, I'm an arborist. I'm a natural organic arborist. And I tell people, look, the trees are hooked into the soil. So what part of the soil are we missing here that you need to pay attention to? And so your product is excellent for the health of the soil.
Well, yes. And we eventually, our next level where we're going with this is a home and garden product. And
yeah.
I've been testing it on my garden all along, and it's excellent for roses, for flowering plants, for vegetables, for everything. And you can be assured that when you use it, that it is a clean product. There's nothing on it that, especially, you know, for food, that it is, you know, you will grow fabulous vegetables and fruit, and it's, you know, it's going to be good for you too.
You know what I think your real target customer is going to be? Senior citizens.
Yes, I agree with you.
I gave one of my first, this group calls me up and says, I want you to come and give a talk to our senior citizen group on how to grow marijuana. I said, okay. And there were like 100 people there. And the guy said, well, you mean I can't use my Miracle-Gro, or why is this? They haven't, but, you know, because whole bunch of them said, well, we used to smoke when we were kids. We stopped and we want to smoke it again because we're tired of all these medicine they keep giving us, right? And this chemotherapy chemotherapy that. And it's like, but, yeah, and their stories are absolutely amazing. They start taking it, whether it be in a vapor form or a liquor form. And it's you know what's happening too on another level is that the beer people, the liquor people are very upset. The medical people are very upset. Neither of them want this to happen because the people, you know, liquor people people are drinking less and smoking more. They don't like that. You know, the medical people are going to say, wait a minute, aren't you going to take this pill? No, I'm going to smoke a little of this and relax and enjoy. They don't like that at all. So it's an uphill battle because, you know, these are very powerful forces that do not want happy people. Because I tell people a lot, you know how it became illegal in the first place? You see, you know, they understood that because and that's why they also classified with hemp too. You know, they made hemp illegal. Yeah. They don't want people to use it for clothing and rope or any of that stuff. Did you know that the Boston Tea Party was really because they didn't throw hemp overboard? They didn't throw tea overboard. They threw hemp overboard.
They threw hemp overboard. Yes, yeah. I did know that.
So
you're absolutely right about the people that are that have been holding the whole thing back, and when it got classified as a Schedule I drug, it was really the drug companies could not synthesize cannabis, and so that didn't make it profitable for them. And it also, you have the pesticide the chemical companies, and yes, the liquor companies, and
nowadays,
you know, it's
nowadays the drug companies are synthesizing it faster and faster and faster.
But they haven't succeeded in doing it as well as the real thing.
Of course not. Of course not. I'll give you an example of something interesting that happened. We mentioned Colorado. There's a lady who lived in a neighboring state. She has a child that has epileptic fits. And so she heard about, yes. You know, so she went to Colorado to get something, a liquid that the kid could take. And on the way back at the border, the police were harassing her and the kid had a fit, you know, an epileptic fit. The mother put one drop, gave it to the kid. The fit stopped immediately. And the kid started talking no more. And the police officer said, never mind, go. But what happened was is that it made it in the paper. The pharmaceutical companies got a hold of it. They paid the guy $1 billion for the plant. They synthesized it, and it's on the market. And now it's not as good, as you say, as the original stuff. It helps a little bit, but it's nowhere near the same. You can't take the drop on it and expect it to. There's a person online too with a question, so maybe we can take her if you don't mind.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Mr. Engineer, you want to let this lady Elsie on? Hello?
Yes. Hi.
I can't
hear you.
Hi
there. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Oh,
hi.
Okay, good.
This is Andy, and
yes.
This is Francis. What can we do for you?
Well, hi, Andy. Thank you. Hi, Francis. You know, I have a question for Francis. I know that Frances is an authority on organics, and I know that her family is an authority on organics, going back at least one generation. And I also know that the products that I've seen you associated with, whether it's grapes or raisins or whatever, are things that that you take very seriously, and I know that your family did too. And I'm just wondering, given how authentic and kind of pure the Pavage approach to organics is, what is it that moved you to choose to get into this particular business, given just how serious and expert the whole Pavage family is on organics? What is it that moved you to get into this line of business now?
Well, we felt that this business, again, you know, cannabis has been around for a long time, and it was grown illegally for many, many years until recently, till they started to be able to grow cannabis legally for medical reasons. And so we felt that right now this business is a nascent business, and it is going to do nothing but get bigger. And this was our opportunity to come in kind of on the ground floor of this business and maybe and make a difference in terms of how people look at growing and about growing a cleaner product and how important it was to grow a clean product because of the medical usage and all the people, because as we talked, we said before, there are children using this, older people, people that are that have cancer, people that have various ailments, and it is just so important that the product that they're using, whether however they use it, whether it's an edible or whether it's they're vaping it or smoking it or however, that it's clean. It's doubly important, and that's why we got into it. And like I said before, my daughter is an oncologist, and she's the one that was noticing that in this in that business that it was very difficult to get a clean product. So that's how we started with this, and that was really our motivation. And we felt like maybe this might be one agricultural business that can be primarily organic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, they also give it to dogs and cats too.
Oh yes, they do. I know.
I know. I have several kitty cats, but I had one that was having problems. She died because of lung cancer. Because people, you know, cigarette smoke is really, really super bad. You know, but a small animal is like a little baby, and I started giving her. It was called Kitty Joy, something like that. You know, I think it really helped her a lot, but. You're absolutely right in the sense that so much people just don't, they just want to make the money, and they'll grow the marijuana in any way they can get it, in any form they can grow it, and then they spray it. And then on top of that, you know, there's still places that it's illegal, and there's still authorities that are actually spraying, you know, they grow them in the woods. That's another disadvantage. You know, they're destroying the environment by growing in the woods. And then the police department, whatever, they'll spray the area. Literally, I think it's Agent Orange they were spraying, or some chemical they were spraying to kill them. And it was still ending up in the product.
In the water supply, yes. Well, there are parts of Northern California where they've been growing for many years. In fact, I think it's one of the forks of the Yuba River up there that was literally polluted and almost dead because of all the illegal growing that was up there, and all of that because they were using such harsh chemicals that it was going down into the water and into the river, and the river nearly, it has been restored since then, but that was the primary reason that that river was so polluted. It was because of the cannabis growers.
Well, I'm hoping that through your leadership, you know, your company's leadership, it sets an example for other companies that are growing, because lots of people are growing, and when I'm looking, I'm going, wait a minute, you're not growing it organically. What is the purpose of you growing it chemically? I mean, I don't understand that myself, you know, because it needs to be regulated to the point where they shouldn't allow you to use anything other than just to grow it organically. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to do it otherwise.
Well, you're not going to get an argument from me about that. I feel that's the way we should be growing our food, too. But, not everyone gets it. And I think we have a long ways to go in terms of educating people on the quality of not only their food, but certainly about cannabis or, frankly, any medication that they have. And getting back to what you were saying about the seniors and various, it really, honestly, the medications that people are using today, if they were using cannabis, they probably wouldn't have to use half the medications that they have.
Half? They probably don't need any of it. They start off with the right path.
I'm being generous.
Yeah. And they understand how to use the product. That's another way. It's so many different people ask me, well, how do I make a food, you know, edible out of it? One lady made an edible. She got really sick because made it really too strong, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still a science that people have to learn how to cook. And how to use it. But let me ask you another question. What do you think, what are your feelings? One of your questions is what the advantage of using your products over other brands. I don't know if, you know, there are lots of organic fertilizers on the market. You know, they've been around for quite a while and people would want to use that, but they're not, you know, your product is specifically made for this, and people haven't grown marijuana before, they have to realize you have to treat it like pretty much like a tomato plant. So if you grow a tomato plant, if you give it really high nitrogen fertilizer all the time, you're going to have a giant tomato plant, but no tomatoes.
Yeah.
No? Right? So you have to learn how to grow it. Otherwise, you have a massive marijuana plant, but nothing else. You have leaves. You won't be able to enjoy it at all.
Well, this is why we have, in our program, we have we have two levels of, we have products for the what we call the vegetative state before it flowers. Uh-huh. And then there is another set of products for the flowering and bud stage. And so you feed the product nitrogen at the beginning, and then after when they start flowering, budding, then you back off of that and you have other vitamins and nutrients that go into it that produce and encourage very strong, healthy flowers and buds. And so in our little home grow kit that we have a little chart in there, the feeding chart, that tells you exactly when to use it, how to use it. It's very simple. And there's only three products. And so if you follow the directions, you should get a very nice crop.
Exactly right. And I have a lot of people come up to me, they give me a picture that says, what's wrong with this? And I'm going, well, what were you doing? it's a giant plant, but there's nothing, the guy's been smoking the leaves, okay? So it's like, right? So people I have, you would think that they have some intelligence, but I've had that experience with everything. People call me up with lawns, with roses. I go, what are you doing? Holy cow. What is your feeling about medical versus recreational? Because I understand that you're into the medical, I understand, but you're also into the recreational, or is that two separate things for you?
Well, I think that it's two different, you know, again, there's I think the need for the medical is a very big need and a very, very real need. And that, again, is the most important in terms of making sure that you have a clean product and that you're growing. But that does not discount, you know, again, regardless of how you feel about recreational use or whatever, you know, I believe that they also need to have a clean product too. And, you know, in today's world with all the stresses that everyone has, you know, it is a way to, you can deal with that stress when used in moderation, that it's better than taking, a Valium or some of the other medications that are on the market.
Well, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it, but I was in the service. I went in 1968. I never drank beer, but I got court-martialed for smoking pot 14 times in the service. I was in Vietnam, and you know, I would run across when I would smoke something. I can tell it was bad for me. I would not finish it. I would go, oh boy, this is not right, because you know, we get either start sneezing or we get some other reaction that tells my body, which told me, there's something else in this stuff other than what I wanted, and that was always an issue with me when I would go, it was illegal. So you buy it for somebody around the corner, and go, did you grow this? No, I got it from this person who bought it from some other person. And it's like, holy cow! And you can't send it off to be tested. You know, could you test for chemicals, please, for me? And that was always a big issue. And you're absolutely right. Is that people have a right to, if they're going to smoke something, not to be smoking Roundup or whatever else is in there, because you're smoking that. It goes in your body, and sooner or later, it's going to affect you. Not immediately. It may even give you, you know, I have another friend who says he doesn't smoke, but gets really sick from it. I said, well, and on top of that, I can't even tell him, here's something organically grown, because even the organic stuff, it's got things in it now. So the only way to tell is to grow it yourself and you do it totally organically, right? Totally clean. Then you know you have a clean product.
Well, that's exactly why we started the home grow kit for, you know, specific, more for medical, but also for the recreational user, because then that way you grow it yourself and you're using a good clean product to fertilize and give it nutrients. Then you know that when you get finished, you are going to have, you're not going to have anything on it. And, you know, the other thing today is like all the, you know, most medications, I mean, you listen to what they say, you know, if you listen to the ads on TV, they always talk about the side effects of everything. And I mean, you listen to the side effects and you go, oh my God, you know, do I really want to ever even use this?
I know.
Good clean cannabis really doesn't have any side effects.
Doesn't have any? Well, the biggest side effects is you might be happier, you might be hungrier. You may want to take up painting. You may want to take up dancing. Those are good
side effects. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, those are good side effects. So listen up.
Those are good side effects.
What research is being done? Are you involved with research on the cannabis hemp field?
No, well, I'm not. I mean, unfortunately, we're not involved in research because, you know, up until now, I mean, now there's a little bit of research being done in the United States, but up until now, you couldn't do any research. And most of the research in cannabis, specifically for medical use with the cannabinoids, has been done in Israel. And they're starting to do other research in some other European countries, Italy and Netherlands, I think, is doing some research now. And we literally, in this country, have not been able to do research because it was classified as a Schedule I drug, which meant that is putting it in the same category as, you know, heroin and cocaine and meth and all. Yeah. And it was classified as, you know, having no medical value at all.
I hope they change that.
Well, they're working on changing it, especially for hemp, but they are. They are working on changing it, and I think that with all of so many of, well, more than half the states now have legalized cannabis for medical use.
Do you know you know that there's a big. I'm assuming you know the difference between hemp and cannabis.
Oh yes.
Okay. Well, a lot of people don't. And also, what's happening too is that here in Ventura, for example, they want to grow thousands of acres of hemp, and then also grow thousands of acres of cannabis outdoors. Do you know what the problem would be with that?
Well, they would have some, I think that there might be some cross-pollination there.
Yes, ma'am. And if you grow hemp anywhere near cannabis, your cannabis will not be any good.
Yeah, because you're going to get, you know, you're going to get some, you'll get, it affects the female. You don't want any male plants being in there because you don't have, I mean, at cannabis right now, I mean, hemp is grown primarily what they're using hemp for besides rope, you know, and fiber for fabric and stuff is also for CBD oil. And there is, you can grow and sell CBD if it's under 1.3% less THC in it, then you could sell it as a CBD product and also transport it across state lines. Cannabis. No, that still is not the case.
Right. So the problem over here would be, and I told him, I said, if you start growing a lot of hemp outside, people are better start growing pot indoors, because you grow hemp, you grow pot in your backyard. You're anywhere near it, your pot, you'll be smoking hemp, and you can't do that. I had a friend that travels.
That is a problem, and you know, that's something that they'll have to. That's why I think, you know, right now most cannabis is grown indoors. Not a lot of it. I mean, they're growing it mostly in Northern California right now. They do grow outdoors, and in Central California they do, in Colorado and Oregon they do grow outdoors, but they have most of it is all in hoop houses though too, and so that gives it somewhat protection. But you're right about the hemp laws. If when they change, and more hemp is grown, then that is going to be a problem for the cannabis growers.
Yeah, because, you know, this if they only did 100 acres of hemp, I don't think you'd be able to grow recreational or medical marijuana outdoors anywhere near in Southern California because the winds would just spread it around. And you'll say, my plant isn't doing well and I can't smoke. And if you test it, you'll see that eventually you're just going to grow hemp. You know, and then you can't smoke.
You know, even in today's market with, you know, with cannabis, when you if you buy the seeds, now a lot of the seed growers are guaranteeing that they're female seeds. They've been feminized, but that's not always a guarantee. And if you are growing and you do get a male plant in there, it'll just ruin the rest of your plants.
Right. And people, it's a whole educational process that pretty soon the big companies are going to get in on it. And when that happens, I know they're not going to be doing it organically. I know that these big giant companies, like this one place here, they call it, it used to be called Hot Springs. Now it's called Pot Springs. It's Desert Hot Springs. It's now called Desert Pot Springs.
Oh, yes. You mean up there by Palm Springs?
Yes, ma'am. And they're growing. They're not doing it organically. They're growing major areas, you know, big, giant greenhouses. They're using all the typical fertilizers you can get your hands on. And I'm 100% positive you cannot grow chemically without backing it up with the pesticides. There's no way you can do it otherwise.
No, you can't because, like as I said, when you do – if you're using ammonium nitrate, nitrogen, you're going to get a big green plant, but it has very watery, large cells, and it is very susceptible to any pest that comes along.
The reason why it's susceptible is because it's a trace mineral deficiency. This stuff does not provide you all the trace minerals that your plants need. I'm betting that your product here is full of all the trace minerals, all the proper ones.
Yes, we have, our superfood has a mineral complex in it, which is all trace minerals, as well as, again, like I said, when you're using our products that we use, the fish base is all, it's whole ground up fish, seaweed is whole ground up seaweed, and the algae is freshwater single cell algae. And so, again, all of the products that we use in there are all of the highest quality, and then in the processing, in their manufacturing process, they're not losing any of their nutrients.
Where do you see Amigo Bob's outreach for the future?
Well, we see it, not only in the cannabis business, but like I said, hopefully in the home and garden business. So you'll be able to go to your local nursery or your local hardware store and be able to get it and use it for all of your plants, your flowers, your vegetables, any fruit that you're growing, everything that is edible in any way.
You know, interesting, I just want to throw it in, is that, I do a lot of work with fruit trees, you know, and people come to me because of the greening disease, especially growers.
Yes.
And These guys are like, they're pure chemically grown, like in Florida, you know, all the citrus over there. They're not organic. Mm-hmm. On top of that, their soil is totally dead. And are you going to be offering these guys something that they can get their hands on and start using? Because if they start using your product, just using the microbes alone will help the soil. And it's a whole different mind change that they have to change, because they don't realize the connection with what they're doing and why the bug is attacking the citrus in the first place and how to deal with it. You can't throw more chemicals at it.
No. Well, because it's, organic, as we talked about a little bit earlier, is that when you are using conventional fertilizers and pesticides, it's all about killing everything. You know, you go in there and you kill it. You might be targeting one pest, but you're also going to kill everything else. The idea behind organics is that creating a balance in the system, in the ecosystem, in your soil, in the plant, it's not about killing, eradicating everything. It's about creating a balance.
Exactly,
and that's the difference.
Listen, where can we get your products now, other than through your website?
You can get it through the website, and it is in some stores in Southern California now. We're just starting to market it in the retail market because we've been mostly marketing it to professional growers and to, you know, and from our website for home gardeners. And you'll see it soon in nurseries and in, in growth stores in the Southern California and in Northern California area.
Cool, because I'm looking forward to seeing it in my local nursery. I already found it, oddly enough, in the health food store, but not in the nursery, right? You know what I mean? Because the nursery, you know, you have to have a way to get in there because they like to sell. But over here in Malibu and the local areas, I've kind of broken them into organics because I write a column and I sent people there. I said, ask for the product. If they don't have it, you know, they're going to get it. They have to get it. If the customer goes and says, I want Amigo Bob's organic, they're going to have to eventually get it if enough people show up and want it, right?
Exactly. That's what we say. You know, vote with your dollars. In most stores, if you specifically ask for a product, they'll get it.
I go to a Green Thumb Nursery over here. I think that your product is not there yet. But I know the owner. I already talked. I said, look, I want this. I want rock dust. So they supply rock dust. I said, hey, where's the seaweed? How come you're not selling? And then they have fish emulsion with urea. And I said, I don't want the fish emulsion with urea. So eventually, and other people show up. And, yeah, they got a big organic section. Same thing with a local nursery here in Malibu. They have a big organic section. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and say, do you have Amigo Bob's? Where is it? I can't find it. If you ask them enough, they're going to get it. And they should be able to get it, right? They should be able to contact either you guys or their distributor.
Just send it to our website, which is amigobobs.com, and we will contact them, and if they order it, we'll make sure they get it.
Cool. Great. Well, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Did you say you were going to send me 100 pounds of all your products for free because I'm a nice guy? You said that, didn't you?
I know you're a nice guy, Andy. So.
Well, thank you very much. Did you get it? I sent you a copy of my e-book. I sent it to you via email. Did you get it?
I don't think I did.
I'm going to get your address from somewhere, and I'll send you a printed version of it, okay? I think you'll love it.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for being on my show, okay?
All right, Andy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. So next week, that was Francis Pavich from Amigo Bob's, and it's amigobobs.com. When you go buy from, tell them Andy sent you, right? I know you'll love their products. So next week I'm doing Dances with Ants. So it's all going to be about ants, natural ant control. I call it Dances with Ants after I watched the movie Dances with Wolves. And it's not about killing ants. I tell people that Captain Kirk told Spock, we're not going to kill today. So that's the whole process of it, and I'll teach you what I know about Dances with Ants. But ants, I have a book called Dances with Ants. It's available on my website, but it's also included for free in my new book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, all about natural ant control. And guess what it has to do with? The soil, right? The soil. Ants are Mother Nature's janitors. Not their fault. If they have to respond to stress. They have to respond to damage to the environment. They're trying to clean it up. They're trying to clean up our mess. So that'll be coming on next week, and then after that we have Earth Fort will be on. If you have a product or service and you think my listeners will love it, just drop me an email and I'll start talking to you about it. So I think that's it for now. Mr. Engineer, if you're there, I'm not going to be doing a two-hour show today. I have there it goes. So you can just sort of log me off the way you normally do. Thank you very much for being here, everybody. And stop by invisiblegardener.com. Sign up for my newsletter. If you have a problem, you know, if you have a problem with the website, anything like that, let me know. I'm here to help you. That's what it's all about. pass on my knowledge. So next week we'll be doing Dances with Ann. So thank you very much, everybody. Happy growing now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.